Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Tuesday night installment here at Your Remedy is in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various IRS administrative remedies with our speaker, Mr. Tony Davis. My name is Mark Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedy is in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedy is in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. If you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do where they're similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless, and it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedies in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com, if we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure. Better known to some as American jurisprudence or ANJUR, the rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced, the jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedies in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremedyisinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedy is in the Law. And Your Remedy is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that all together make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremediesinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you get to a point where it will ask you what are your hot points interested in. This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights. Anything that you can think of. And if it affects your personal rights, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of how you think of a social network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom, it's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think that they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look at these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to the point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, and you're just new to your remedies in the law, and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night, the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air, as long as they are appropriate. So you'll get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, so winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. Can we make those introductions? Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best, and believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. But we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if the remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedies in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
Well, Martin, thank you so very much for your disclaimer. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to be covering some history on what we've already covered. So let me give you a recap on that, if I may. The first nine lessons that we have gone through was the fact that you originally, when you came into this world, you took your first breath, that you were born a first-class citizen. Then we provided a 30,000-foot overview. Then we showed you how Congress converts state citizens into federal citizens. We show you the origin of the federal citizenship and how that came about. We then readdress again how state citizens are converted into federal citizens. And then we talked about the common law versus commercial law. We applied more glue to other references to this. We showed you how your rights were lost, and we also had some unanswered questions that we answered. Tonight we'll bring a conclusion to this part of the presentation. We'll also answer questions that are predefined, if you would. And then next week we will be picking up the history of the 14th Amendment. Now, we continue this loop, and we do this cycle for a number of reasons. One is to drive it home. It's repetition, and repetition is what helps you remember. Telling you once or twice is not enough. You're making a major change in your life. You're going from being controlled, totally controlled, a slave, owned by the United States, to someone and with enjoying only privileges that the Congress gives you, and you're translating into a free man or a free woman, responsible for your own upkeep, and with your rights and immunities from the Almighty One, the Creator of the universe, as our founding fathers intended. Some people, they're comfortable being slaves. They're comfortable being owned and taken care of. They're never meant to be anything else. It's not in them to think ahead and to plan and to do things accordingly. But there's others of us here that, for crying out loud, the money that we spent in our youth and our middle age with taxes, had we had that money to invest in our own business or just invest in the marketplace, we would have come out, millions of dollars ahead from what this is going on. So, anyways, that's what we'll be talking about this evening. All this is in preparation for your 15-minute interview and also for the rest of your life so that you learn and understand how to operate as a free man and free woman. Also, the team made a decision months ago when this became available, they will not take on new students unless the new students have corrected their status. It's that powerful. If you are a 14th Amendment citizen, you're under contract. And your contracts that you have actually are superimposed above the law. So your interface with the IRS, et cetera, is through contracts. And this is about, in one fell swoop, converting from one kind of an entity to another. So let me give some coverage here, and we'll start with the conclusion, and then we'll go on to the questions that we have, the prepared questions. So the idea is this article this we've been doing for the last several months, you may not believe them. You may like the federal system. And if you've been with us this far, I hope you will see that the government now is in a different light than what you saw it before. So let's restate some central themes to these presentations. The government recognizes that there are two distinct classes of citizens, a state citizen and a federal citizen. Each has different rights and responsibilities, or different privileges and responsibilities. And the origin of those rights from one are different from the origin of the rights from others. In the former, the rights come from the creator of the universe. In the latter, the rights that they call rights, are actually privileges, come from the Congress. State citizens created the states, who then created the federal government, who then created the federal citizens. That is the pyramid, if you would, the hierarchy, the pecking order. Most people are born state citizens, and then they translate to federal citizens without their knowledge sometime after birth. You can reclaim your citizenship status, your political status, as a state citizen through a legal procedure. If you remain or choose to remain a federal citizen, you get to pay lots of taxes and you have no rights. If you reclaim your state citizenship political status, you'll have to learn about our legal system. And you'll have to change the way you bank and to save and invest and other aspects of modern living that probably are taken for granted. But a state citizen that knows the legal system has more control, if we should say total control, over his or her life. Information is power. For decades, the information and the power has been centralized by the government class, those people that are in government. It's a generational thing. Today, the balance of power is shifting. As citizens become more vigilant about government encroachments, the government's power is lessening. And as the number of state citizens mushrooms, you'll hear more about them in the press as the empire strikes back, if you would, quoting a Star Wars thing. The movement is not trying to change the system. This is the way the system works. In fact, any attempt to change the Constitution by way of a constitutional convention or international treaty should be opposed strongly and vigorously. I can't say how many times I've received emails or invitations to encourage political leaders to sign the compact for a new constitutional convention. It's insane. What we have is perfect. It's great. It just needs to be understood by the people. Can you imagine what sort of a constitution would be written with our current political leaders doing the writing? They don't even have the gray matter. Never mind the moral compass to write it. Now you know what this movement is all about, and whether you decide to change your status or not, that's up to you. So, that having been said, now let's talk about some questions here. What is an American national? An American national is a citizen of one of the freely associated union states, such as Florida. Florida being one of the, quote, collective names of the states which are united by and under the Constitution. Where did I get that quote from? I got that quote from Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, 5th and 6th edition. It's been omitted now from the 7th edition forward, by the way. Do I give up benefits? Well, most of you leave U.S. citizenship status and come home to a state national or a state citizen status. You will retain your benefits and actually gain power. What if I was born in Washington, D.C.? Okay, no big deal. You still record using one of your parents' birth states. How do you continue to operate in society, collect a paycheck, get an auto loan, purchase goods once you've made the transition? Well, the truth of the matter is you actually gain power, not lose it. Continue with your new terms, your new vocabulary and understanding of what the vocabulary and words mean, your new freedoms, your new power, your new glossaries, and your new rights. The W-8 Ben, for example, that you can acquire, offers Union State Citizen as one of the examples that you can check off. And that's who you are. Are there any consequences? Well, only if you don't learn your laws and give them tacit agreement to fall back into the jurisdiction. Bernie and I have had this discussion many times, and the saddest thing that Bernie used to offer something, a program where you could rescind your signatures on very specific documents that you had filed out throughout the years, unbeknownst to you, to where you would be totally taken out of the system by just the fact that you rescinded your signature. The problem was is that the people that did this did not effectively prepare and set up and establish entities that they could operate through as free men and women, and oftentimes would have to fall back, relying upon, you know, the government to get their paycheck and to keep the food on the table and the roof over their head. So Bernie does not offer this anymore. Those of you that are involved with the anticipated global currency reset, the infamous RV, you'll be in a position where after that event, you'll be able to do that full bore. In the meantime, you have this option available, just simply correcting your status. Question, I heard a Union State citizen and American national are the same. Yes, it's important you step up to help govern your country. This is important, like being a politician but without a paycheck. It's a duty and an honor to serve your fellow man in your communities. You need to go forward if you have any inkling at all to make matters better for your fellow man, is to serve in public office, but to do so as a Union State citizen or an American national and make that a point of contention against the other candidates that you're working against or you're politicking against. There's nothing better than to shine a light on who you are and why you are who you are and what was and that you are, in fact, the fulfillment of the original intent of our founding fathers. So what is a United States citizen? I thought that was a good thing. Well, could be, but probably not. United States citizen is actually someone who is dead. Yeah, civilly dead. They're lost at sea and the enemy combatant of the American people. A U.S. citizen is property. They tricked your mom at your birth with a second birth certificate, which is just a registration to an estate with your name, your fake name in all upper cap letters. And this is interpreted by the United States State Department as a 14th Amendment citizen. Question, I legally changed my name. Do I file on the legal name changed as in the witness papers or the birth name or both? Well, you have to keep a continuity, a chain of title, if you would. So your title at birth was the Christian name or the name that your parents gave you. And if you have a court order that was done sometime afterwards where a name change went from what your birth parents gave you to what you came in with, then you're going to show both of them. You're going to show a chain of title, if you would, of your name. So all names will get covered in the paperwork. And to be sure, they don't use any of the names that you own. You will demonstrate this change chain of name title from your birth certificate through today. So what are the benefits? Benefits all your rights recognized from your maker, the creator of the universe, constitutional protection, more money, more freedom, less headaches, less traps like court and bills and fines and license requirements. What do I do after correcting my status and completing my paperwork? Besides enjoying your freedoms fully and power given to you by the Almighty One, who most call God, his name is Yahuwah, and you are now protected by the Constitution, you're also encouraged to join your state organizations of others who are like-minded, who have corrected their status, which you can find at AmericansRestoringAmerica.com. So we talked about that. What paperwork do we need to carry once we've made the conversion, once we've corrected the record? Well, you're going to carry, at minimum, you'll carry your State Department ID card. Possibly it would be wise to have your passport as well, but the State Department ID card would be one thing. You'd have your W-8 form with you. You'd have a copy of your DS-11 with you. And there's a little essay that I wrote. When I say I wrote it, it's not original from me. It's a collection from a dozen different sources that I have put together under one title, which is Once We Were Colonists, Subject to a King, an Essay in Jurisdiction. You are invited to have that from me and to print up a copy or two. And keep that with your paperwork as well. When the day comes that you are ever pulled over by a law enforcement officer, and he comes back to your car after, scanning your magnetic strip of the State Department ID and says, Mr. Jones, Mrs. Smith, apologize for pulling you over. Please keep the speed down or whatever. Or you might want to get that taillight fixed. You can say, Officer, I have a gift for you, if I may. And give them the spiral bound thing on Once We Were Colonists, the printing. Why? The more police officers, the more people that can learn about this that are affected by it directly, that is those that would normally take you to jail or otherwise, they're going to have an understanding that they're not going to be able to unlearn. And it's absolutely important. So those are the paperworks that I would carry with me as I travel about. Do I still pay my mortgage and debt when I become American national? Well, yeah, you're contracted. Now, on a separate note, on a side note, are there ways to challenge a debt, any debt, as being a lawful debt? Because you're now entitled to a lawful remedy as opposed to a legal remedy. I hope you understand the difference. As one in co-sovereignty with others, you're now dealing in law as opposed to in some legal la-la land. And as such, you have the right to challenge your mortgage debt and all the other things that go with it. And we have programs and information providers that can assist you with that. Can you or your business be sued in courts? Not really. Because they're courts, all the courts that you ever see out there, every one of them, are United States courts. And they're for United States citizens. They will have a dickens of a time. The last thing that I want to say on that is also that our information providers, with every student that they've had in the past and currently are working with today and will have in the future, are exploring all of the possible ramifications of cluster bombing the opposing counsel in their efforts to do whatever they're doing with you, because they're not dealing with one of the slaves on the plantation that they are accustomed to dealing with. So we'll have to just see how that all works out. How does it affect your licensure? Do you still need a driver's license, a fishing license, a hunting license? Are you subject to laws requiring auto insurance? Are you still able to use services like police and fire and EMS? Well, the answer is no. Licenses are made up by the foreign entities that are squatting on our land. A license gives you a right to do something that is otherwise illegal. That is the very definition of a license. Is it illegal to marry a woman or a man, you know, opposing sexes or genders in our country? In our country, is it illegal? Well, it is if it's not illegal. If you're a slave, if you're on the plantation, two men can marry and two women can marry. And there was even a Californian that got a marriage license for his dog and him. I mean, it's just crazy. So the licensing for natural man and woman is no longer required. It was never required. Abraham Lincoln, 1860s, he did not have a marriage license with his wife. All right. So let's see what else we got here. Totally new discussion. What is the purpose of becoming an American national? You gain all your power and your rights and your Constitution back. United States citizens are slave to the foreign entity squatting in Washington. That foreign entity is, in fact, the Congress assembled. Americans have all the rights and freedoms owed to them from the blood of those that established this nation. So much the better to be on top directing than on the bottom being told what to do. Does this remove CPS, Child Protective Services, from taking your children? 100%. You and your children are no longer property of the United States. Kidnapping a child or adult is not allowed in our common law de jure republic. There was a case that I think PJ was talking about where several years ago CPS came in. And it was some religious group and took all of the children. I mean, like 100 children were in the collection, if you would, that the state of Texas took for some violation or for whatever they wanted to come up with. And the people who were, quote, knowledgeable in the law and well-disposed to use it presented paperwork establishing that these children were not registered as property of the United States. And much to the chagrin of the CPS people and the attorneys involved, the judge ruled immediately, you return these children to your parent, to their parents, because he understood that he did not have the jurisdiction of dealing with United States citizens. Do you still get Social Security checks and Medicare and so forth? All right. You take ownership of the accounts in the United States Inc. set up in your name without your full knowledge or consent. These are contracts, and contracts are superior and above the law. They are. It says clearly in the various documents, founding documents, that contracts will not be interfered with by the government. So these are contracts, and even if the contracting party is the government as well as yourself, they owe you. So no, you're not going to have any issues there. And for the 13, 14 years that GW has been doing this, there has been no issues. How do you enforce it for our family once and for all? How do we enforce it for our family? Knowledge and constant studying of the real law, attending these calls, listening to the archives, going to correctmystatus.com, which is not developed at this time by any means, but it will be developed. And as it gets developed, there will be resources there to learn and understand. Doing Q&A on the Monday night call with GW, and I'll do the best I can on tonight's call, is to ground you in the understanding of who you are as a flesh and blood man and woman, free upon the land. These conference calls will train you. Do I have to fill out paperwork to become an American national? The answer is yes. However, the paperwork that you are supplied to fill out is not necessarily have returned to you as a suggestion for what you actually filed. And the reason for that is government uses common words that we share every day and then those legal definitions have the full force and effect of law for their jurisdiction. For instance, the word resident. How many times have we covered it on these calls? The word resident that you are domiciled in Washington, D.C. We've covered that. So by learning these things, you and by participating in, on a weekly basis, you'll become more and more effective in understanding the words, the definitions, and how they are used. Is traveling outside the United States of America still possible? Absolutely. You just use TSA agents and other people at the airport will be treating you totally different and much kinder light as far as your convenience and safety is concerned. Where do I go to research if I will lose my military benefits, or the VA benefits? And again, you don't lose them. These were contracts, and they must be honored. How do we buy property in a vehicle? Well, preferably through a charitable religious trust or the alternative, same way, but without the cost of property taxes and driver's license and registration fees and sales tax. If I were to become an American national, would I get rid of my birth certificate? But then does that mean that they can say I'm an illegal citizen because of no birth certificate? The answer is you don't get rid of your birth certificate. That birth certificate is proof you are a citizen of one of the Union states and not a United States citizen. Everyone wins. Nobody loses. So why isn't this being done today? Why aren't you doing it now? Many American nationals have been or are being deliberately misidentified as United States citizens, making them ineligible to enjoy the natural rights. They receive only civil rights from the Congress assembled. Only we, the living people, have the answer. Everyone who is eligible to reclaim their birthright political status as American nationals now may do so. There are many places on the Internet, if you would, where you can find others that are talking about this, offering you solutions and offering you premises. There is a major difference between posting something on a website and saying, here, go for it, than there is having a team in place, an organization put together to educate, support, and walk you through, hold your hand through these processes from the point of the beginning to the last day you draw your breath. And the point is that Bernie, myself, every one of us have replacements already being trained or have been trained to replace ourselves so that this will continue in perpetuity. We must take our nation back, and the only way that we can take it back is to repopulate it with American nationals, i.e. state citizens, and educate everyone so that they knowingly, willingly, and intentionally contract with the United States to be their property so they no longer have to bear the burden. For them it's a burden, for us it's a joy, the burden of the responsibility of taking care of their own lives. So those are the two comments that I wanted to open the call up with tonight. I want to remind you that next week we will be talking about the allodial title of land. So that will be what we'll be covering then. So let's open it up for Q&A, a little Q&A here. Press star 2 in your keypad. For those of you on Freedoms Radio, look to the right center of your monitor. You'll see a rectangle laying on its side, empty. Left-click in it. Type away your comment or question. On the outside of that rectangle, you'll see a place to put your name and so forth. Hit submit, and I will give voice to your comment or your question and do the best that I can to answer it. I do want to remind you that the Tuesday night call, tonight's call, is just as important as the Monday night call. I wish that GW's schedule was such that he could actually do this on Tuesday night, and then I'd take the Monday night call over so that you had preparation to understand what he's talking about on Tuesday night, but it doesn't work out that way. And then to understand that should you ever need to exercise the services of the team will only talk with you if you are involved with having corrected your status or in the process of it, with the exception of Judge Bernie, because a charitable religious trust and a corporation sole stand alone for what they do with regards to property. But they don't have anything to do with you with regards to your flesh and blood and the fact that it won't make a dime's worth of difference. If a charitable religious trust and a corporation sole won't make a dime's worth of difference to you if you're pulled over by a policeman doing 90 in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. On the other hand, correcting your status, it makes it a totally different outcome. Chef Juan writes in, what are the differences and the benefits of correcting your status through the State Department versus through the state you are domiciled in? Great question, Chef Juan. Great question. Well, the thing is that I'm here in Florida, and there's Florida, which is one of the several states of the Union, and then there's the state of Florida, which is the territory of the United States. You write the State Department of the state of Florida for the United States, you're still dealing with the United States. One step, one level down. So just go to the top. The State Department of the United States is the very pinnacle of naturalization and citizenship status. So just that's where we go. It's the very point. Everything flows down from there. Also, with your process, do you reclaim your driver's license? I don't know what you mean by reclaim. You can have your driver's license. For instance, you may be required to have a CDL, a commercial driver's license, because you drive the 18-wheeler or something like that. There's a court case that says your exercising of a license in no way interferes with your rights as a man, as a, you know, your natural rights. So I don't know what you mean by reclaim or reclaim your Social Security card. The first step is that through correcting your status, you still can use the Social Security card to a degree without changing anything, because that's how they keep track of you, what they owe you and what you owe them. Or only now you don't owe them because taxes are apportioned for you once you've corrected your status. But they're not apportioned to 14th Amendment citizens. So you're in a wonderful playground here, if you would, with full and total latitude to basically do as you darn well please. Now, after the event, when you are bloated with finance, if you would, through which is you're controlling by way of a corporation sole and a charitable religious trust, at that point, you are eligible then to do Bernie's program, which is to rescind all your signatures. And now you are totally out. Frankly, why do you want your Medicare or Medicaid at that point? I wouldn't. I want to have the latitude of having total control over health services. You know, with Medicaid and so forth, you're told to a degree what may be done and what may not be done. You're put on a list. You're not a priority. This one over here is a part. With money in your hand, you can go where you want to go, and you are the priority. Money talks. Everything else walks. Are those items returned to the entity that issued them? Don't know a thing about that. I wouldn't be returning anything. I just leave it alone. I know someone that corrected their status through the state they live and reclaimed these items. Are you familiar with that process? No, I'm not. And if you could give me a call tomorrow, Chef, I would appreciate that. So that takes care of Freedoms Radio. Now let's go over to see if anybody's pressed star 2 on the keypad. I don't see anybody having pressed star 2. Are we going to have a short call tonight? We don't want to have this call be any less important than the Monday night call with GW. I know that I'm only the marketer and that I'm not the information provider. I don't have any ego tied into that. But I'm saying to you, I'm sharing with you, what you learn on these calls that I'm covering is the groundwork that you must know and understand to be able to articulate yourself. And there's no other exception to that. If we're not going to have any questions, then I'm just going to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you, Ed. Now I know somebody was listening. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, I'd be good for something here.
Something.
My situation is still as we've discussed a couple times.
Okay, let me interrupt and frame this for everyone on the call. There are several of you on this call that have an alleged debt with the IRS. And if you throw in your Social Security number when you do your ES-11, et cetera, they're automatically going to bar you from getting a passport, et cetera. Understand that this doesn't alter your status, but that it's just that they're not going to give you a passport because you owe in excess of $50,000. They claim you owe in excess of $50,000. The team right now is working on an affidavit where you testify in this affidavit under penalty of perjury that you don't own a Social Security number. And that's critical for that phrase that we've developed. You don't own it. And the reason for that is you don't own it. The Social Security number belongs to them. That's how they identify you. It is not your Social Security number. It's their Social Security number. No different than the license plate on the back of your car. When that license plate belongs to the state of states, whatever it is, that's who owns that license plate. I can say in a automobile that I'm behind the wheel, officer, I don't own that license plate. If there's a problem with it, you need to take it up with the owner. I'm not the owner. And that's truthful. Conversely, your driver's license, any license that you have, does not belong to you. It's not yours. It belongs to the issuing party. So coming back to you, Ed, we're working on two things relating to this. One is the fact that an affidavit that's not yet created will be generated that will be available for everyone that faces that issue. Number two, I am interviewing with a potential new information provider that I'm told I have yet to do my due diligence, and that's the key here, that I do my due diligence like I did with Bernie 8 years ago before I came on and presented with him, as well as with TJ and John and Chris Ann and all the others that I've done my due diligence with. If this works out, then the alleged claims are that he will become a new information provider and take issues of this alleged debt into short order. So we'll see how that goes. Now, I apologize. I interrupted you. What you got to say, Ed?
Oh, I forgot now. there's lien on my house on account of that debt. And, of course, that does it up for me to move ahead and work on getting a land patent. And we're making a claim that my land is my private property. And it just builds up into all of this. And it's like I'm just waiting and waiting. And I'm seeing our this country, I think, is going down, and I'd like a little more control of my life than what I have at the moment before it reaches that point. My lien disappears. The IRS lien on my place disappears in October, and that's amazingly good.
Yes.
That'll be a blessing.
Right.
But that I've lasted all this time without them being able to do anything, except for having a lien, which freezes some of my economic activity. But I get confused in terms of, like what I sent you the other day. I'm hoping that was sufficient for you to fill out a form like you should fill out, and et cetera, et cetera. Because once I roll, I really do want to roll.
I know that. Right, just so everybody knows, Bernie has graciously stepped forward with a member of his household, his daughter, and he has taken control of converting everything to its proper presentation. In other words, I send you a worksheet, I send you a DS-11, and you fill it out as best as you know how. I return it to Bernie. Today, Bernie had a conversation with GW. They're working on dotting their I's and crossing their T's on these DS-11s. and finished products will be prayerfully in your hands either by the end of this week or the first of next week, so that we can establish the 15-minute interviews and get them done. Those that have the debt over $50,000, I don't know if we'll have the affidavit ready by then. We're working very hard on it, but that's where we are with it. Anything else, Ed?
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, interesting. I'll be interested in the...
You're breaking up.
I'll be interested in the listening for the land patents, allodial titles.
You're breaking up, Ed.
Is that any better?
Say it again.
Is that any better?
That's better.
That sounds better now.
You'll be interested in what?
In the allodial titles and
yes.
Things like that. Because number one, that's the only way.
You're breaking up. I can hear you trying to come on. I'm going to go ahead and take the next caller.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, next is Brent Prescott, Arizona. Go ahead, Brent.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Doing great. How about you, sir?
Good, good. Thank you for the explanation regarding the update on the DS-11. And also, again, thank you so much for the information at the beginning of the call. I didn't quite get in at the beginning tonight. But,
right, you're breaking up just like Ed was.
Well, I am loud and clear. You're loud and clear. Ed was loud and clear, too. So it might be on your end, Michael. Can you hear me?
Okay, you're breaking up. Go ahead. Say what you – let me – I'll tell you what. Let me get off of my headset and see if it's my headset.
Yeah, I think it might be on your end. How's that? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I could hear Ed fine. I don't think it was on our end.
No, it's on my end. It was my headset.
All right. Well, once again, I really appreciate your information at the beginning of the calls. It's extremely valuable to hear this stuff repeatedly over and over again. And feel free to go on a little longer if you want. I have two questions that I have asked you before that are still kind of lingering there. One has to do with the situation with the IRS, and I'm only seeing about 40% of my paycheck right now, and I would love, love, love to fix that situation to where they don't get 60. Well, not, it's not just them, but they take a huge
right.
bite out of my cash flow, and I'm looking forward to the time when that's not happening anymore.
Right. Well, we've got the team that could handle it one way and go actually after it, and they've been successful for 30 years doing it. But the person I'm speaking to tomorrow night, which is coming to me by way of GW, supposedly, when I say – I don't mean it questionably when I say supposedly, but – is offering a quicker solution that I'm not aware of, the team is not aware of. So we're going to have a good meeting tomorrow, early evening, before tomorrow night's call, and we'll be investigating that. I'll be doing my due diligence. And then, prayerfully, the fellow will come aboard as an information provider, and we'll be doing another live call with him.
Okay. And as far as the state national getting your all of that process completed, is there, you know, a W-9 that I can just send to the employer and hopefully fix from here forward without having to go back and fix all the past
it yet? Yeah, the W-8 Ben is what you would get. The W-8 Ben, not the W-9. W-9 is for 14th Amendment citizens.
Okay, and when can I do that? When can I start that process?
Well, we could do that late tomorrow afternoon. Again, everybody needs to understand the ID card that you have from the State Department, the passport that you get from the State Department, is the State Department's recognition of the correction of your political status.
It's the recognition of the correction. It is not the correction. The correction occurs in the affidavit, where you just clearly say, I am not, you know, and that we provide for you. That is, so that goes with the W-8 to your employer, and that releases your employer from having to pull anything from you. Now, understand also, the employer is more afraid of the IRS than they are of you. So with a new employer, that's the way to go. But with an existing employer, then there needs to be discussions with the team and with GW in the team as well as John. Okay?
Okay, so should I tune in, try to get on next Monday and talk to GW?
Or give me a call. You can give me a call in the afternoon tomorrow. He's 3 hours behind me, so if it's noon my time, it's 9 o'clock his. So sometime in the afternoon, I'll get him on the. You call me. I'll get him on the phone. See if he's available right then and there. If it's not, then when will he be available? And then is that good for you? And then we contact them.
Okay, I will do that. And then the second question has to do with what you plan on discussing next week, which is the allodial title stuff. I do want to get the property into the trust and underneath the corporation sole, and I just want to verify that that's not going to interfere with the allodial title process in any way.
No, not at all. Because the corporation sole or a charitable religious trust is the entity that is the owner of the land, and you are the manager of or the trustee. If through a corporation sole, you are the manager of the corporation sole that directs the trust. So no, it has no effect whatsoever.
Okay, I talked to my title company regarding that transfer, and they want to do a warranty deed with a regular I forget exactly what they called it, but it's essentially a abbreviated sale process as opposed to just a title transfer.
Yeah, we need to talk to GW and John about that. They're going to have something to share with you.
Okay, so I should hold off on doing that transfer from my personal name into the trust until we find out about that title.
Right, how you can work around the title company, which is clearly acting as an agent for the United States.
Okay.
Before I'm trying to think of the word I never remember it. It's not annotated. It's anyways, when I purchased a house for myself 35 years ago, my mother-in-law owned a real estate company, and she made certain that the abstract, thank you, abstract, it was an abstract of title. At that time, it was like $600. So, you know, $600 35 years ago is like, you know, $3,000 today. The abstract of title, and if you ask a closing company or you ask a title company today, can you provide me with an abstract of title? They'll get deer in the headlight look, or they'll say, no, we don't do that anymore. Well, the reason that they don't do it anymore is because it's like your birth certificate. It shows where you were born, and that's the evidence, the highest evidence that you are a citizen of that state as opposed to the United States. So they don't want to do I've already lost the word again.
Abstract.
Abstract. They don't want to do the abstract of title. And the only thing that is greater than an abstract of title is what? Allodial title.
Okay.
So, yeah, we need to have a conversation with John and with GW on that, possibly even Bernie as well.
Yeah, Bernie told me to go ahead and just do it through a title company. That's what his recommendation was.
Well, I want to make sure that we don't have something that can come and sting you with a commitment that the title company wants to put upon you, as opposed to other alternatives that we don't yet know to talk about.
Excellent. Excellent. So we'll address that tomorrow as well?
Yes, sir. Yep, sometime in the afternoon. All righty. You take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too.
Thank you. Next is Jennifer, followed by Michael. And go ahead, Miss Jennifer.
Hey, Michael. That gentleman that was just talking, I don't know if he's interested or not, but I just learned about a conservative website that joins workers and employers together who don't, you know, you don't have to be vaxxed, there's no CRT, there's all, you know, so it's basically conservatives helping each other out. So maybe he wants to look for a whole new job. It's called www.redballoon.work, W-O-R-K.
Okay. Why don't you send that link to me and let me review it, and I'll get it in front of Brent as well.
Okay. And I missed the beginning of the call, and he mentioned that you said something about the DS-11 update. I missed that. Could you just go over it again or not?
No, it's fine. Bernie is taking on the conversion of bringing what your paperwork is that you've already supplied into finished format of a DS-11. And one of his daughter, actually, he's going to oversee her doing the work. So she gets, this is going to be her first job in life, and it's, great for his family. And he'll be overseeing it to make sure it's done perfectly right. He's working directly with GW. He had a conference with him today. And we'll have another conference tomorrow, finishing it up, and then all of these DS-11s and so forth that we have in the process will now be executed and done rather quickly. Bernie doesn't like to have paperwork hanging.
Right. Okay, well, great. So that's all I wanted to share.
All righty.
I'll text to the website. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
okay,
you. Uh-huh, bye-bye. Next is Michael. Go ahead, Michael, in Las Wages.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, sir.
The records, what do you call it? I just lost the word, abstract. To get a copy of the call in, the radio program, what do you have to do?
You go to copies
the
of the Monday night. Sir?
The archives.
Right. You go to correctmystatus.com. That redirects you to American by Birth, and you find the archive tab. You click on that, and then the download functions fine. You can download the archive onto your hard drive and then just listen to it directly from your computer. We also offer streaming, but the streaming is broken. Worked before the ransomware people got a hold of it. Hasn't been repaired yet. So that's where we are with that. But at least you can download at correctmystatus.com the Monday and the Tuesday night calls.
Okay.
Also, Chrome and one other one, I think it's Internet Explorer, which is now called Edge. Those will not, website will not work on those two browsers, but it works fine on Firefox.
Okay. Well, I got three or four guys here at work. I'm out here in California. on this job. So I got three or four guys at work, and I'm showing them and giving them the information. It's up to them what they want to do. But come Saturday, the Saturday podcast, I'll let you know.
That's Bernie on asset protection.
Okay. But you'll be on Saturday too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll let you know how the W-8-10 worked with a new employer here.
All right. Yeah, this is Brent. Yeah, just a second, Michael. Brent, Michael here in in Nevada I've already worked with him on his W-8-10. So he's seeing how it's going to work out with his new employer. And you might want to be talking about that, bringing that up next week or so when we talk again. Anything else, Michael?
That's it. I got to go to work, brother.
All right. Get that paycheck. Anyone else? Press star 2 on your keypad. Otherwise, we get to go home. Let me check Freedom's Radio while you're thinking about it. Tell your friends about tonight's call as well. Even if they're not prepared to do it, to do the correcting their status, get involved with that for whatever reason, everyone needs to hear these calls. Well, looks like nobody else has raised their hand. I want to thank you for a great call tonight. Let me check one other thing. Wait a minute. Don't go away. Let me check one other thing here. Yeah, okay, 6. I want to thank you all. Until next week, good night and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.